All right. It's a gigantic crowd. Y'all got to calm down. You know what's funny? Is on Sunday morning, someone was like, like they're all excited about this movie. You know, and I'm like, oh, okay. Again, people may still think it's 6:30. I don't know. We'll see what happens, everybody. Really? Is that like a big deal? Ooh, really? I've seen The Hunger Games, so same deal, right? Chariots around the circle, people on fire. All right. Okay, film and theology, again, just my quick little thing is our minds never, ever shut off. They're always thinking, and so nothing that we come to is mindless entertainment, so we always want to look at it in the terms of see what directors and writers are all trying to put across in the message that they display on a screen. Really, everybody's longing for something in a narrative. That's why we tell stories, and so we look at what they're saying in the story. So tonight is not so much a superhero movie, but a non-superhero super movie. I don't know. It's Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible was first put on TV in 1966. It chronicles a team of government agents known as the Impossible Missions Force, the IMF. A hallmark of the series shows people getting instructions, and after they get the instructions, it says these instructions will explode or whatever, just self-destruct in 5 seconds, and that's the thing. The first Mission Impossible movie was made in 1996. It has been 15 years since Tom Cruise first portrayed the global super spy, Ethan Hunt. A decade and a half later, he's returned to it again in Ghost Protocol. The formula is usually the same in almost every one of these movies. You have a global terrorist threat, forces the IMF to send a team of spies led by Ethan Hunt, Tom Cruise, into the world of international espionage. This movie cost $145 million to make, so this is what you get for $145 million. And judging by some other movies, this has a lot of stuff to it. The film made $693 million at the box office worldwide as of last year. That's not including DVD sales. It's just last year. And so it's the highest grossing installment of the entire franchise. The movie is directed by Brad Bird. He's the guy on the right. Right there, this is his first live-action movie he's ever done. If you ever seen The Incredibles, he did The Incredibles. What he says about doing this movie is that Tom Cruise saw The Incredibles, he really liked it, and he wanted to meet with him. So he goes over to Tom Cruise's house, and they talked all just about movies. And so Brad Bird is having lunch one day at Bad Robot, which is J.J. Abrams' company. J.J. Abrams does Star Trek and Lost and Fringe. And so he's having lunch there, and J.J. Abrams sees him there, and he walks by, and he says, "Hey, what are you doing?" He says, "Oh, I'm just having lunch." That night, he gets a text from J.J. Abrams that says, "Mission?" And so he becomes the director of the movie. The movie stars Tom Cruise. He's been in a couple movies. Don't know if you know who he is, but oh, my goodness. I'll tell you one thing about that most people don't know about Tom Cruise, and that at 14 years old, he was a Franciscan seminary student. People know. Whatever. Okay. Next kind of movie, this is Simon Pegg. We all love Simon Pegg from Shaun of the Dead or Scotty in Star Trek. It's kind of funny that he's Scotty in Star Trek when he's a huge Star Wars fan. And he includes like Star Wars little references in all the movies that he himself does. When he was 16 years old, he was a drummer in a band called God's Third Leg. I just thought that was kind of funny. If you're a Coldplay fan, if you are, he's the godfather of Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow's daughter, Apple. And for you Doctor Who fans, if you really like Doctor Who, he was actually originally first slated to play Rose Tyler's father in the first series of the new Doctor Who. This next person in the movie is Paula Patton. She was in Deja Vu and Hitch. If you liked Smallville, Kristen Kreuk, she was originally slated to play this part that she took. Next person in the movie, this is Jeremy Renner. He's in the new Bourne movie. He was The Hurt Locker. You've seen The Hurt Locker. He's in that as well. Actually, they created his character for the movie for when Tom Cruise decides to give up the franchise, that he can actually take it over. They actually had Chris Pine and Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy's Bane in the new Batman movie. Chris Pine as well is the captain from Star Trek. And so they had one of those two looking at taking this part as well, but they gave it to him. So a little trivia before the movie starts. There's a sequence in the movie, if you've never seen it, the tallest hotel in the world, Tom Cruise is on the outside of this hotel. He actually did all of those scenes himself. No stunt doubles. He's actually out there. The glasses here where he's wearing are actually Oakley's, but they're specially made for him, and you can't buy them. Lucky us. Ethan Hunt's code number is A113. There's another person has a class ring in the movie, and it says A113 on it. A113 is a frequent thing you will see in Pixar movies. It's an inside joke based on one of the rooms in the animation program at CalArts. Brad Bird, again, the director, worked for Pixar, and he has worked A113 into every single movie he's done, as well as some of his television work. The lead name of the character, which is Leonid Linnis, the Sinker, I can't say it because they say it so fast in the movie, by the way. This is a reference to some people that actually J.J. Abrams did past work and some characters in this television show Alias. The hotel mentioned in the movie is actually the Armani Hotel Dubai. It's the first hotel that is actually designed by Giorgio Armani, and you can really tell it kind of looks like it. The code that Ethan uses in a payphone in the movie, if you watch really closely, is 07362, which is actually his birthday. There's an actor that hands Ethan Hunt a black mask to place over his head to meet an arms dealer. If you're familiar with the very first movie, the same kind of thing happens there. It's the same guy who hands him the mask in this movie as well. There's a high-tech car at the end that Ethan Hunt is driving around. It's a Vision Efficient Dynamics concept car. It's actually a prototype for the BMW i8 plug-in hybrid that's supposed to enter production in this coming year. And what you'll see when you get to the fights in the movie is the characters train for 4 months, just not the fights themselves, but actually how to fight. So when they came into the fight scenes, it looked much more natural. Rather than choreographed moves, they learned how to fight. And so they're actually doing these things and all the things where they fought each other. And so they wanted it to look as real as possible. So here you go. This will be Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. I think it's the best movie they've done so far in the franchise. It's great beginning to end. Hope you enjoy it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being a God who gives us the gift of creativity and art and cinema. And we ask that we be those who understand your gospel as it relates to all things that we see. Amen. Music's so dramatic. Dun, 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 dun. Whatever. Actually, at the end of the movie, that goes all the way back to the TV shows because the Syndicate was the ones they're always going up against in the TV show. So it's kind of a throwback to that. Okay, impressions. What'd you guys think? Any? You were just like, oh, that's great. No overarching themes, nothing. Like, what do you get out of that? Okay. I'll just go then. All right. I think after 15 years and 4 films, it's kind of hard to pull anything out that's new. But that is, I think, the best one of the entire franchise. If you've seen any of the other ones, that actually works better than its predecessors. Now, a lot of people look at this movie and they draw a whole bunch of parallels about teamwork and leaps of faith, trust, abandon, all of these things. You know, they're like, there's no I in team, but there is an impossible, you know. Thank you. After I watched this movie the second time and third time, just trying to figure this out, I actually came across, because I at first when I decided to do this, I just thought it was a fun movie. I thought, we should do that. I didn't know what in the world I was going to talk about when we did the movie, so I had to watch it a few times. I think one of the most interesting things in this movie is the notion that everything is actually broken throughout the entire movie. You know, everything in Mission Impossible is supposed to, you know, function really effectively and efficiently. All their scientific gadgets are all supposed to work. But in this movie, everything seems to break. They can't rely on anything. I mean, you have the facial thing that's supposed to make their masks, and it breaks, and they can't use it. The thing at the very beginning where this is your mission, it breaks. And it can, you know, what else breaks in the movie? The glove breaks. What else? Yeah, the little rover thing breaks. It's like everything starts breaking throughout the movie. And in the same way that all the gadgets begin to prove faulty, so do the IMF team. They start turning on each other. You know, they're supposed to be the best of the best. But all the team in this movie has all kinds of baggage. And everybody's damaged. Everybody's broken. They're full of vengeance and guilt. And they have self-confidence that doesn't work anymore. I mean, in this franchise, this is the first one where everybody just seems very, very human, and they're all looking for answers. You know, on the other movies, they all focus on these large terrorist plots that are out there. Ghost Protocol takes a lot of time to figure out what's actually wrong with the people, and it's all kind of becomes about healing and redemption, because this is the issue of sin. and what it does. Sin destroys everything. And that's something we need to see and understand. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, it says, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a doctor, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. And it's not the point that everybody's well and nobody needs a doctor. It's that the people who are sick realize they actually are sick and need a doctor. And this is the deal with Ghost Protocol. It's a representation of sin. And sin is so hard to kill. It breaks everything, and it keeps popping up. Every scene, man, they just finally got rid of that, and boom, they pop back up again. I mean, even at the end of the movie, the guy that falls down all those flights, he's punching in the code, mission accomplished. And the guy's all, he's like, he's not dead! You know, seriously, that's the thing with sin. And in Romans chapter 7, Paul says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. I mean, this is the whole thing. Even at the beginning of the movie, Josh Holloway, the guy from Lost, you know, he's getting away and he thinks he's free. And at the last minute, he realizes, boom, there's the assassin and it kills him. That is just like sin. We think we're free, we're doing so well, and bam, it pops its head up and just kills us again. I mean, this is the whole idea. Like, what we need, we cannot obtain on our own. And we need grace. I think the whole movie serves as a plea for grace. I think what's really interesting is Tom Cruise. This is the first movie he did after all of his fall from grace, you know, all the things that kind of happened to him in his life. And actually, even now, I mean, in the public eye, Tom Cruise's life just totally imploded. You know, from his Scientology to his jumping on couches to Katie Holmes and now their divorce. It's like his whole star has kind of lost its shine, whether that's fair or not. But you have the media and the public. Everybody turns against him in recent years. Even Talladega Nights. You got Will Ferrell running around. He gets out of the car. Save me, Jesus. Save me, Tom Cruise. And he starts making fun of Tom Cruise from Days of Thunder in that movie as well. Everybody was kind of against him. And in Ghost Protocol, it starts off, and where is Ethan Hunt? He is in jail, a cast off from public himself, and he waits patiently in a cell for someone to come get him. Even one of the members of the team, when they find out he's going to be on the mission, they say, why do we need him again? I mean, that's the whole deal. And then I think with the whole movie, it's almost like his plea to receive some grace again. Again, you look at the message of this, and what could you walk away with? I think it's true to say the film exhibits a very strong theme that powerfully illustrates man's desire for grace and healing for everything that is broken. I think Ghost Protocol is a clear picture of a culture that's searching for hope and forgiveness from all of their past. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 24, it says, but that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. See, for us, it's not just about getting away from sin. Because if it's only getting away from sin, then we miss the point, and we will exchange one sin for another. If you get rid of drunkenness in your life, then you tell everybody how you did that by trying really hard or wearing a patch, and then all of a sudden you get very, very prideful because you did it all yourself. And all of a sudden pride, you realize, is what Satan gets kicked out of heaven for. So you went from being a drunk to being like Satan. Yeah, that's a good choice. You just kind of went forward there, right? See, spiritual progress is not only moral progress. The goal is to get close to Jesus, and then your sin begins to go away. You know, we don't overcome by stop pursuing sin. We overcome sin by pursuing Jesus. That's the difference. This is why Paul says, you whoever did not come to know Christ that way. And that's our first question when you walk out of a movie like this. Do you know Jesus? Because apart from Jesus, there is no victory over sin. In verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And the question is that, do you know Christ? Then are you putting off and putting on? Because we must put off sinful ways of thinking and doing and being, habits and patterns, and we get rid of those things. You know, because in the movie, that's what kind of got Ethan Hunt in his hot water in the first place. For you and I, we got to be honest about our life and our sin and what we've been doing and stop it. I mean, some people, it's like, you know, my credit card is full and I don't know why I can never pay all my bills. Well, maybe you shouldn't have a credit card. That might actually help. You know, sometimes young people are against, like, every time I'm alone with my girlfriend, you know, or watching a romantic movie, our clothes are coming off. Well, maybe you shouldn't be alone. Do things in the daytime with people around. Because I know clothes can stay on. It's you do it there, so it'd be okay. I mean, if you have too many wrong things in your life, what we do is we take them off and put on repentance. I mean, repentance is not adding to. You know, it is taking off and putting on. Off and on. You know, what are those things? You spend time with Jesus and he shows those to you and we figure those things out. The answer is, you know, it's different than the movie. We don't disarm a bomb. We don't scale a hotel wall. For you and I, it's much more simpler and I think much more hard than that. It is loving Jesus Christ and living in freedom. But that is very simple to hear, but very hard to do sometimes. I mean, sometimes it'd be easier to scale the side of a building than to simply trust Jesus for the grace that he offers to you and I. But I will tell you, our past can never be erased, but we can always move forward with the knowledge that we are not imprisoned by it anymore. And again, the overarching theme of Ghost Protocol is this grace that we all long for. And that's why I think it's more than just an action film. I think it's a great representation that everything is broken, sin mars everything, and yet Jesus offers grace and pulls it all together again. That's what I got. Yeah, what do you got?
Well, I like the ending because Hunt kind of restores the guy. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Again, restoration. Mm-hmm. Yeah, redemption. You know, he's broken. Look at what I did in my life. And at the very end, he comes back and looks at it again and says, you know what? Restoration. Now, I would have been mad if I was the guy being like, you let me live with this for this long, thinking it was my fault? Are you kidding me? I'm surprised they didn't do that. Probably like, oh, we're at 2 hours and 18 minutes. We'll just end it there, you know. Anybody else? All right, what's the next movie? James?
Captain America.
Yeah, anyways, America. Next movie, Captain America. It'll be cool. And then the one after that, we're doing The Hunger Games. Because it'll just be out. And, I'm going to keep it short, but I got a lot of stuff to talk about The Hunger Games. Book was better, by the way.
Are you saying you're going to keep it short by talking really fast?
Yes.
As opposed to talking fast?
Yes. Wow. I'll keep my notes short for The Hunger Games. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much again for film and for movies that help us to realize that you are a God who has sought to redeem and save us. And I ask that we be a people who live in grace, understanding that our past does not have to define our future. And that we can trust you for what you call us into. Amen.